This podcast may contain adult language and situations, graphic, gory details, and other not-so-nice things. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is United States of Murder, and today we are here with a special guest.
This is going to be Chris Counts that comes on. He is the lead paranormal investigator for Sweet and Sour Paranormal. And I was just informed the producer slash star of Stag Wrassle Paranormal on Amazon.
Prime.
On Amazon.
You can't order me and then I'm delivering.
Chris Counts now available on Amazon.
Exactly. Two-day delivery.
Okay, so I guess to start things off, in layman's terms, what do you do?
Basically, we go into places that have histories, and we confirm or deny what our experiences are when it comes to the evidence that we collect.
So do people contact you for this stuff?
We've had people contact us in terms of, we don't usually go to private residents.
When you go to places, not residents, do you find that you're more trying to disprove it or prove it?
It's easier to go into a place and decide that you're wanting to disprove whatever. Because the thing is, obviously, if you can't prove one way or another that it, you know, if there's no other options, that it's something that you've definitely experienced, but you have no scientific basis on, you know, why you experience that and everything, then that kind of leaves you with the option of, if I can't explain it, then it must be what it is.
So what would be, like, proving it, quote unquote?
Well, I would say, well, like I said, for one thing, it's the personal experience. I'll tell you, when it comes to being affected yourself in terms of you feeling ill, you know, in a location, walking out of the location, not feeling ill anymore, going back in and feeling, you know, it's one of those things. It's like...
like throwing up? Diarrhea? Like what?
Maybe.
Diarrhea.
I'll tell you about one incident that blew my mind, just because it was... there's a couple of times when I'll do audio, and that's like one of my favorite things to do is collect audio. And we went to Four Quarter Bar in Argenta.
Yes! We love that place.
I know, and there's more reasons to love it because...
spill it.
So we actually had people on the second floor. Everybody was on the second floor. And when I go into a location, I usually like to go be by myself so that I can have more of an interaction. So I went down to the first floor, and there is a back bathroom. I believe it's a women's bathroom. So I go in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to put the digital recorder in front of me, and I'm going to back up in the corner and start recording. So as I go to back up in the corner, I start to feel crowded. So I turn around and put the digital recorder into the corner while I'm standing in the middle of the room. And when I go to ask a question, I hear, well, do you want me to play it for you? Or do you want me to? I'll do it and see what you guys hear. So
when you do these, mm-hmm. is it empty or are there?
Oh, that's a good question. Like, do you have the space all to yourself or patrons?
No, it has to be emptied out.
Oh, but I was going to say, I totally lazy in the under the stall.
Well, our one member, her name is Michelle. She's clairvoyant. She doesn't like to be around people she doesn't know because she's picking up on their energy more than anything else. And so she's like, and basically it's a rule. If anyone's going to come be around us, she would prefer to actually interact with them in a social setting just so she can know what their energy is like and everything. So this is a Four Quarter Bar, and I asked the question, can you hear me? So this is what we got. We'll see if we can actually hear it. So you notice I actually start talking over the end of what it's saying, and we're going to listen to it one more time, then I'm going to tell you what I hear. So what?
It's like four syllables, maybe.
So what I heard, and you can re-listen to it, is yes, I can.
Okay.
So listen to it the third time.
Chills and sweaty armpits.
So I just use a regular audio digital recorder.
Really? So do you hear... Do you hear that in real life?
Don't hear it when I'm recording it. Not until we play it back.
So that's so interesting. What do you think it is about recordings where you can hear something on a recording and not in real life?
I think it's a frequency issue. And it's funny because one of the most asked questions is, well, you know, what do you think ghosts are or anything? It's like, you know, if you know, what is it? And, you know, here's the thing. Number one, when you talk about spirits, people instantly want to go to a theological aspect of it. I think that if you wanted to put it, I mean, you know, it's a spirit's a spirit as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to put it in a theological setting, if you look in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about Satan being over hell. It says he has dominion over the earth. That's the only thing it says in association to a location and Satan. So, therefore, if there's dominion over the earth, and apparently he's supposed to be over hell, wouldn't that mean that there's just a veil between us and that?
First of all, that's super scary to think about.
Your eyes, I see you're like...
And that's just a theory. That's a theory.
That's a good point, though.
So was there anything else that you guys heard there that night?
Or we just actually caught quite a bit. There was when I first got there, there's some places where you can instantly start recording and pick stuff up like right away. Mm-hmm. And at one point, and I don't think that it was in reference to anything evil or anything because we didn't feel evil. Mm-hmm. But I think it was literally repeating. I went up to the top floor and I went into a corner and I'm literally just recording in a corner while everybody's downstairs. You can, on my audio, you can hear people talking in the background.
Sure.
But I said, how many people are here in terms of, you know, spirits? And you hear six. And it's like, well, I think it was literally just saying there's six people. Not sure. I don't think it was saying, hey, 666,
yeah.
Sign of the devil, you know? So yeah, it's just, an odd thing. Your eyes.
I am freaking out.
So could you do this on an iPhone?
Yeah, probably.
Have you done that before?
I've not personally done one on iPhone.
Because now I'm like, okay.
We're going to go to Four Quarter Bar tonight, take two shots of tequila each and be in,
well, then of
in
course
the corner like a weirdo. Like, how many people are here?
How weird do you think it's going to be that a guy is trying to take two women into a back bathroom with some recording equipment?
Hey,
come on.
Nobody
back.
Nobody come in, we're recording.
So I know Ashley has a different experience, but I've never, ever, ever had a paranormal experience, period.
Yeah.
Of any kind. I don't not believe. It's just I've never had anything weird happen. So.
Do you know that you guys live, or you live super close to a place people have been asking us to investigate? It's a murder house.
Someone had briefly mentioned there was a murder house nearby.
What's a murder house?
It is a house that's directly across from the Edwards Food Giant, I think,
I know,
over here.
Yeah.
And it's by itself. It's like nothing's directly next to it.
Okay. I didn't know that was the house.
The history of the house, which I looked it up because people have been asking us to check it out. Back in the 80s, I think like 86, 87, there was a man who he worked for Stevens Inc., and apparently he was getting let go. Maybe there was some charges that might follow. I'd have to look at it again. I just know that it was a bad ending to that work relationship. Apparently it was right around Halloween, I think it was. He sat down with his family. He had two daughters and a wife. They sat down and watched, I think, Nightmare on Elm Street.
What?
They rented it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that would be 88. And so watched Nightmare on Elm Street. And then he proceeded to shoot his wife in the head and the heart, shot both of his daughters in the head and the heart. And from what I heard, he had three pistols that he used. And he took two pistols and shot himself at the same time on both sides of his temples. And his mother, this is an odd coincidence, his mother apparently was the voice of the demon in The Exorcist.
For real?
Shut up.
That's, but yeah, that's what I did a little bit of research. I didn't do a deep dive, but that's what I was reading. And I was like, oh my God.
Do you remember the name off the top of your head?
I don't know.
I'm sure I can.
They even had a picture of the family. It's really sad to see the family and then read that, so.
That's horrible. Yeah. I'm glad it's not this house.
Alicia, what would you do? You'd be just SOL because you was bald.
So, when you laugh,
she's like, I totally understand now. Yes. People are like, I can't move. I just moved in.
People always make fun of the people that are like, they just moved into your house. And why don't you just leave? I'll say after moving, we're not even unpacked yet or anything. It would take a lot to get me out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tempt anybody.
I'm not trying to tempt anything.
Grandma, are you in here?
after all the moving hassles, no. I'll never say that again.
You're like,
when I'm
only if we get our deposits back.
Like, no.
If there was anything, you'd basically try to make peace. Be like, hey, just come on in.
Let's just deal with this together.
We can be friends.
We can be friends. We gotta go with this.
We can do it. We don't have any kids.
Yeah, like, let's...
So, just because I loved watching your reactions
to the audio. They're scary.
So, I'm going to tell you exactly what you're going to hear on this because there's so much background noise.
Yeah.
So, we went to a Civil War era cemetery in Lone Oak County. Mm. Even had officers with us, sheriff's deputies with us. It was pretty interesting. There's one part of the cemetery that it said there's a marker that says past this point is a mass slave grave.
What?
And so it's just this open field.
Oh my gosh.
So basically while
we had
stuff in the in the background. So I went and stood in the middle of this small field and I had another investigator come up behind me and everything, and so I started recording. And he asked the question, do you want us to stay or do you want us to leave? Now, you actually hear the exact same thing three separate times, even though my recorder is actually being pointed away from all the other sound. It's being pointed towards like nothing but open space. You're hearing this response three times, a little bit louder than all the other stuff. So that means there was absolutely nothing in front of me while I was recording. But this is the audio, so.
Someone holding a little device. What is your name? Is it okay that we're here? You want us to stay? You want us to leave?
So, did you hear the three?
Yeah, and I have the our recording up facing me, and each time it happened, it made the same exact spikes in the sound. I couldn't make out what the word was, though.
Leave.
It was leave.
Okay.
Leave.
It's also weird that there was absolutely nothing in front of me, and it was louder than everything else that was going on. So.
That's weird. That's so creepy. Oh, my gosh. So, you were going somewhere in Hot Springs?
Well, we went to a place in Hot Springs. It's Tombstone Photography. They basically do the...
It's where you dress up. Is that gangsters and strippers?
On the main street of Hot Springs? Because I feel like I've seen the outside of that before.
So now...
I'm doing it right now.
I want to tell you the history of the place. In 1973... In the 1920s. Of course, that was a big mob place and everything.
Yes.
There was a guy who... His name was Frank... Jelly Nash. No. Jelly was his. So Frank Nash apparently was one of the biggest bank robbers back in the day.
Really?
And he was originally from Paragould, Arkansas. But he evaded the law, for a long time. And apparently the FBI caught up to him outside of Tombstone when it was like either a cigar shop or a candy store.
He didn't make it very damn far from Paragould to Hot Springs.
Well, yeah.
Was he walking? He had like a stick and a bandana? And
maybe. Hobo Joe.
Hobo Joe.
So he apparently came out. And back in those days, they didn't like carry gun, FBI agents didn't have carry guns all the time. You know, it's like, hey, just come on out here. You know, turn yourself in, kid. You know,
hey, she.
Yeah, she. And
what are, Lacey's a comedian? Yeah. What did you put in your drink?
I love transatlantic speech.
So they apparently arrested him. They took him to Kansas City to process him. And when they got there, there was some mob guys waiting in Kansas City. They gunned down apparently 4 FBI agents and 2 sheriff's deputies and decapitated Frank Jelly Nash with bullets.
With bullets?
With bullets. Decapitated him. So apparently... apparently, that's also what put Pretty Boy Floyd on the FBI's most wanted, because he was the guy who they said was responsible for the hit on Frank Jelly Nash. And so it's tied into a deep-rooted part of gangster history.
I didn't know that at all. Did you? She was just in Hot Springs.
I didn't do any of those things. I drank and booted.
Charlie, what are you doing, son?
Loving me. He's here to protect me. You must have summoned some demons.
It's some demons.
I can't with his face. Okay.
Sleep. It's just love. He just wants to be loved.
Oh, love me, Ashley. Earlier, you had mentioned the most haunted place in the South is in Oklahoma.
I can't,
is that what you said?
Well, it's touted as one of, I can't remember the name of it, though. I'd have to look it up. But I was, someone asked me if I had ever investigated that place, and I was like, nah.
Is it like an old hospital or school? Or?
I believe it's just a regular house.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll have to look it up.
Like interesting. So.
So.
Have you ever investigated a place of a possible murder or suicide?
Well, Four Quarter.
What? Tell me that. I didn't know that.
Oh, she wasn't in the room.
No, I wasn't. I had to go outside for a minute.
So, apparently, the 2 noted deaths at Four Quarter were at, like, the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And it used to be a brothel.
Lots of sex up in there.
Lots of sex and music and alcohol.
I didn't know it was around that long. I'm looking up them right now, too.
So, apparently, there was a woman who was killed. She was the girlfriend of the owner of the brothel, and she was 14 years old. And apparently she was going to leave him.
Hmm.
And she was basically she had her throat slit and thrown off the balcony, the inside balcony, if you've been in there.
So he slit her throat.
He slit her throat. And so he ended up not going to jail.
Shocking.
And so 2 years later, he got into a fight with one of the patrons of the place, and that dude slit his throat and threw him off the same balcony.
Jesus. The same exact one that's there today.
Yeah.
So have you ever had an experience before you started investigating? Is that why you got into it?
Yeah, what got you into the
whole thing? I had a couple of experiences when I was much younger. It's one of those things that I didn't realize that there was anything paranormal to it because I didn't equate it to being paranormal. I went to what was Jones Elementary in Hot Springs when I was little. And I think it's Clinton Elementary now or something.
Is that where you're from, Hot Springs originally?
I grew up there. I was there for probably about 6 years
gotcha.
Or so. So I was in fifth grade. And I was sitting in class. You know how when you were in fifth grade, you know, kids, when you were taking a test, kids would line up at the teacher's desk to turn in their mm-hmm. tests and everything. So I was taking my test and I looked up and there was a girl who looked around my age. And she was in between the teacher and the chalkboard on the other side of the teacher. So there shouldn't be any kids on that side of her anyway. But she was wearing a dress made out of a potato sack. And I just saw the printed words, you know, from the potato sack and everything. And when she made eye contact with me, I just immediately looked down because that's what you do. And then I looked back up and she wasn't there. I didn't think anything of it until years later when I was talking with my grandmother. And she was telling me about how in the 20s and 30s, people who were very poor didn't have, you know, material to make clothing. So they would use potato sacks.
Wow, and you'd never heard about that until she was telling you.
And then I had another incident in the basement of the place, which was the cafeteria, where I literally saw a guy just standing in the middle of the room. He was tall, and he didn't look like he belonged there. I looked away from him, and I looked back, and he wasn't there. But, of course, you can't equate that to anything paranormal. He might have just moved
just
out of the way.
Odd situations yeah. that happened to you.
And then I lived on a house on Centerview, which was right near McLard's mm-hmm. barbecue. And so my front bedroom was always icy cold, no matter how hot it was. It could be swelteringly hot.
Right now.
Yeah, it could be swelteringly hot. It would always be cold. So I got to the point, I was like 9 years old, and I didn't feel comfortable being in the room. And I thought it mainly was because the attic door was right above my bed. Mm-hmm. Of course, that'd freak you out as a kid.
Oh, yeah, that would be weird.
So I started sleeping in my mom's room, and she woke me up a couple times. In fact, called the police one time because you could hear heavy footsteps in my room at like 2 a.m. So she
Spider-Man
called the police. No one was there.
Yeah. Just saying.
Someone could have been frogging.
Frogging.
Yes.
P-H. You heard of frogging?
I don't know. It seems like if I look on Urban Dictionary, it'd be
a whole different
thing.
I was saying the same thing. She covered it in one of our episodes.
For real, like squatting, but people live there still. Ah. So it's frogging, P-H,
yeah.
Frogging. Someone's squatting, but someone's living there at the same time, and they're doing it. I'm just saying, it actually
it does happen.
It happens a lot more than you would.
I don't need to know that.
So I sleep better. I'm just saying.
But found out that the last people there was a woman who lived there. She was bedridden, had a caretaker who would come once a day and everything.
Yeah.
And she died in the front bedroom, which was my bedroom. So, but it
did
still
she
didn't make,
boots?
She did, well, they said that she was bedridden. So that makes no sense because it didn't sound like a woman walking around in
maybe
boots.
She
did
but,
like
I mean, somebody
well, but
her.
Someone had to have been helping her.
Maybe.
She was bedridden, you know?
I don't know. So the creepiest story that happened before
there's
I started investigating.
There's more?
Oh,
I'm just jealous
more.
Right now.
Lacey wants a paranormal experience so badly. Any ghosts listening, and you can come haunt her.
So I had a friend right before I moved to Los Angeles from Chicago. My friend, Nikki. She's kind of clairvoyant herself. She's always had experiences like she would literally growing up in her house see, she would see a man in a fedora walking past the door and everything. Turns out that the neighborhood she lived in, which was on the south side of Chicago, was infamous for having tunnels underneath where they ran booze in between all these different houses. And her house was one of those places. So one of those things, it's like, oh, maybe that's the thing. But I went to go visit her. She was in a house that was built in the late 1800s. She lived upstairs, rented as an apartment. So it was my last night to be able to visit with her before I moved to Los Angeles. And we went out and grabbed something to eat, came back, watched some cheesy movies on DVD. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. She goes to bed, and I was on a futon in her living room, and she went to bed. I was watching Fight Club, and I had my hand over my arm over my eyes, and I was trying to get sleepy. And out of the blue, like super close to my face, I just hear, "Hey." And my whole body locks up, and I just like roll off the futon onto the floor. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to sleep anymore tonight. So I was just watching movies the rest of the morning. And about 5:30 in the morning, her door opened, which was right out of my view. I could tell that it was opening, you know, inwardly to the room, but she never stepped out into the living room. And so I was like, oh, she's pissed because the sound's too loud. So I turned the volume down. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was so loud. And then it slammed. And I was like, okay, which seemed kind of out of character for her. So about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, she gets up, but the difference is I can literally hear every single sound she's making in terms of I can hear the headboard hitting against the wall. I can hear her bed creak. I can hear her feet go on to the wood floors, walk across the room, open the door. And I realized there was no sounds around that. And so I was like kind of on edge, and I was like, and I told her exactly what had happened. And she said, I thought you came into the room at one point. I woke up and heard the door open, and then you shut it real hard. And she thought it was me that opened the door. And so a couple months later, after I'm living in Los Angeles, I called her to see how everything was going. And she's like, oh, by the way, I'm not living in that house anymore. I was like, well, why aren't you living there? And she's like, well, right after you left, I had a friend who moved in with me, and they were up at about 2-3 in the morning downloading music off Napster, I'm sure, at the time. And so
LimeWire.
Yeah,
LimeWire. So they were downloading music, and all of a sudden, every cabinet and drawer in her kitchen opened up at the same time, said that that was the last time that left that night.
Fuck a cabinet and drawer opening. No.
Yeah.
If you're a ghost listening, come open my cabinets.
Wait till I leave, please. P.S.
That is...
I do not want to hear, see, feel, smell, nothing. No.
Man.
Some of the most horrifying things when I think about, like, paranormal things is the poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when she's putting dishes away or something at the sink?
Yeah.
The original, and she turns around and all the chairs are stacked on top of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks like this table and chairs.
Love a good poltergeist.
No. No. Poltergeist. I'd rather someone chase me with a chainsaw than open a cabinet door. No, ma'am.
I'm calling you out.
Well, I mean, that. First of all, Lacey's not going to chase me with a chainsaw. Because one, you're not running. Two, you don't own a chainsaw. And three, you couldn't get it started if you did.
Well, look.
You don't know. You don't know.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Since we're talking about ghosts and everything, what is the most scared you guys have ever been of anything? The most on edge I've ever been, I was shooting a commercial when I was in Mississippi. I had a friend who was a former soap actor. He was in, like, Bold and the Beautiful All My Children.
My mom would know who he was, I'm sure.
His name was Austin. And which sounds like a so, and he played his character on one of the shows was
awesome. It holds up.
So he had a small production company. We mainly became friends because it's like we were living in Tupelo. He had a past as an actor. I had a past as an actor. Or anything. So it's one of those things like, oh, we connect on this and everything. He was shooting a commercial. It was about seat covers for vehicles that basically won't rip. You can get blood out of them and stuff. You know, for hunters. And so
sure. The
concept of the thing was he had two mafiosos who were talking about the seat covers. You can get blood out of them.
That's quite hilarious.
So basically we're talking about how, you know, you can get the blood out of the seat covers. You don't have to worry about it, you know? And so we're having this conversation, you never see us. You just see that there are two forms in the vehicle. Then we're like, yeah, these are really great seat covers. You know, they don't tear, rip anything. Okay. And then we get out of the vehicle, open up the trunk, pull out what looks like a body, and dump it off the side of a bridge, and then get back
in the
car.
That's hilarious.
So that was the concept of the commercial.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
So the guy who was the other guy in the vehicle was this guy who was in his late 60s.
And he talked like this. He was from like New Jersey or New York, and he talked like this naturally.
So we were doing our thing in the vehicle, and as a joke, you know, they had us mic'd up, and they were getting their shot set up, and so we're just sitting there and we're just chit chatting, and I joke, you know, using the accent or anything. I was like, you know, if you want to get rid of a body, you know, this is how you do it. This is how you kill a guy. And he's like, nah, he's like, if you really want to get rid of a body, what you got to do is just find some homeless guy, cut his hand off after you kill him, put it in the freezer. And then when you actually got to whack somebody, you take that hand that was in the freezer and put the prints on, you know, on the gun from that hand. And then you just get rid of the hand. That's all you got to do.
Okay, Tony Soprano.
And so.
I feel very attacked right now because I'm Italian.
Yeah, I was so tense after that. It's like. That was way too detailed. Plus, the same night when we were all leaving, you know, we had to drop him off. We were joking around about mafioso stuff, and I think I brought up what is his name? His family actually had a reality show. It was a mafioso guy who started with a G.
John Gotti.
Gotti.
Gotti. Yes.
Brought up John Gotti, just joking around. His whole attitude changed. He was like.
John Gotti, that fucking son of a bitch. Motherfucker.
And I was like, whoa. And he was legitimately.
Personally, did not.
And the next time I saw him, which was in a Blockbuster video, which tells you how long ago this was, I had my kids with me. And so they, we were looking for stuff, and he comes in. And I instantly get in between my kids and him, like he was going to do something. But I was like,
yeah,
I was legitimately like,
yeah,
okay. But yeah, it's like I don't get scared by paranormal stuff. I get scared by real people who make real life choices.
Yeah, I'm the same way. People freak me out more than but because I've never had a paranormal thing, so I don't know. I can't compare. I guess
probably most scared I've ever been was I got into an Uber alone. Shockingly enough, I had been drinking. And it was when I was in Memphis. So I was taking it from like downtown to midtown. So I'm a talker. So I naturally talked to the Uber driver. And he was like a 6'6", big, giant dude. And so I'm like, what's the most random thing that's ever happened to you, you know, while you were driving Uber? You know, just trying to make conversation. I had like a 20-minute ride, 30-minute ride. And he says, basically, that he went to drop somebody off one night. And it was very apparent once he got there that they were, like, buying drugs. And, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of shit happened. And so he's like, and now that's why I carry this. And pulls out a huge gun from his console and is like talking to me, and I'll blow anybody's brains out that, you know, and just like is waving this gun around, driving 70 miles, and I'm like, I'm gonna die. Like, this guy is about to take me somewhere in an alley in Memphis, completely mutilate me and blow my brains out.
Wow.
Like, I was terrifying.
Yeah, I would be terrified.
All alone?
Too.
And, like, I had left and was going somewhere else, and, like, my friends didn't know I was coming to where I was going. So it's like nobody was expecting me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they just texted me and said that I could get out here. And I literally got out at, like, the next stop and then called another Uber.
Because side of the interstate.
Like, yeah, I was like, no. But it was scary.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing at me at home right now, but it was scary, bitches. No.
I had two dates that would rank up there, too, but those are way too long of stories. One of them, I ended up getting kidnapped, basically, and ended up in Iowa from Chicago.
Wait, whoa.
And it's way too long of a story.
Was this online dating? How'd you meet?
Huh? No, this was someone who knew my roommates, and she was trying to find my roommates.
So were you kidnapped?
I kind of was.
Okay, you're kind of a big dude.
It sounds like kidnapping situation.
Well, it's...
It sounds like a kidnapping, like, remember Ruthless People with, like, Bette Midler? It sounds like that kind of kidnapping.
It was not exactly a kidnapping because I obviously made some bad choices to end up in this situation. But I was in a part of Chicago that I wasn't really sure about. And so they were like, well, we're not going to go back to where you need to be. We're going to Iowa. So,
what?
And
what?
It's a long story. It's a long story. It involved a prison guard with no thumbs, a mob-owned restaurant, a gun at a gas station. It's a long, drawn-out story. I had to tell it on stage because it was my second night that I was co-hosting a show at the Second City in Chicago. And so I missed my second night there. So as penance for the whole thing, I had to come and tell the entire story on stage to the audience.
So is that why you lived in Chicago for comedy?
Yeah,
I know that's a big...
Yeah, I did improvisational comedy for about 5 years. And I performed with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch. And we did the open improv on the third floor.
That's
and so
awesome.
They would come up after shows and just jam with us. It was actually called the improv jam, it was called the improv jelly because jam don't shake like that. That's what we, because there was already an improv jam at another place. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so one last question and then we'll let you go.
No, I have many more.
So what do you think, besides the obvious, is the biggest misconception with paranormal investigators? Because it's not, I mean... Clearly, it's not like...
No, it's... I would say the most common misconception is that it's like... For one thing, the show that we do on Amazon Prime, the whole joke about it is the odd collection of people that get together for this type of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's never... I mean, it's never like, you know, you're never going to find people, you know, who are all like the same type of person. In fact, one of the people who does this with us, of course, we have Michelle, who is like bright as sunshine all the time. But the thing is, I talk to dead things and everything. And so she's like, you know, super energy and da da da. Then we have another guy who he did radio for a long time. And he like knows a little bit of everybody when it comes to Little Rock. And, you know, he's very personable. So it's you don't instantly think, oh, these are people who go and look for ghosts. Another person works at an Ulta, you know, sells makeup and everything. And
I love that.
Yeah. And she's actually known as our, what was it? I think it's like our kind of our fashionista of the group.
I love that you have a fashionista degree.
She actually dresses for the time periods of some of the places to see if she can be a trigger object.
Oh, wow.
So, and she'll
come. I want that job.
That's
interesting.
So, yeah, we have a good collection of
just
different
people. That's
fantastic. So, it's just like it's not like some goth in the corner.
No.
There's a collection of personalities. I mean, that makes sense.
It's like the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's a Breakfast Club of ghost hunters.
Well our comedy show is, I'm a hedonistic redneck. Then we have the only Jewish woman in this very small southern town in Mississippi. and she's you know, she'll talk about Broadway shows and stuff like that. And then you have another woman who... She's given up on dating, and so she's like, "Well, I'll find something in the other world and everything that I can be."
Same.
She romanticizes about the paranormal, like Twilight and ghost.
Yeah,
and
no, I don't do that.
The Renaissance ghost.
I like my vampires to like suck my blood, try to kill me, not sparkle in the sunshine. No.
You're like that.
I'm like the
interview with a vampire.
No, I like mine like 30 days of night. I want you to. I want to be hot, but you might possibly kill me. So look like you smell
I
like something
like
dead.
The Nosferatu type. I want your nails long.
You're leaving out the black. Lost Boys. Hello.
That's true. That had a fantastic soundtrack. Yes,
it did.
I haven't thought about that movie in a long time.
You lost me with the vampire
cry,
sparkling
little sister.
Opens up iTunes.
Exactly.
Everybody just opened up iTunes.
Have you said already what the most haunted places you've been to? Like the one with the most, I guess that's a relative term.
The most activity.
The most activity.
The most activity would probably have to be of just, you know, since we've been doing this as long as, you know, we have, which is only, you know, since, I guess, September of October or October of last year, would have to either be Fort Corder or the state capitol. We were getting stuff left and right at the state capitol, and that blew my mind. You heard that one piece of audio that where, I asked, what was it? I said, do you want to talk with me? And you hear, you and me. We cleaned up the, because it was only a whisper, but we cleaned up the audio, and it straight up just sounds like someone whispering, you and me.
And that's on your Facebook page, or Sweet and Sour's Facebook
page. Yeah, Sweet and Sour's Facebook
page. We'll share that to our, we'll share all this stuff to the listeners so they know where to find you all and all that. But that's, I think you're working for Big Four Corder.
Oh, yeah.
Four Corder.
They're going to see an influx of people in the bathroom corner.
Exactly. They're going to be like, I don't know what's happening here.
So... You use equipment for everything.
Yeah.
But when you go places, before you turn it on or when it's not on, do you feel things? Like, do you pick up... I know you're not clairvoyant, but do you get vibes, I guess? Or anything like that?
I don't, personally. I'm one of those people, though, it's like things don't really scare me the same way that it does other people. So it's like, oh, I'm not going up to the attic because it's, you know, too scary. It's like, it's an attic. You know? So... I have a little bit of skeptic in me when it comes to those things. But yeah, it's like for Michelle, it's weird to watch her process a place because she will literally just, she'll start to walk into a room and just go, and just turn around. And it's like, but.
That's interesting. I'm that way with buffets.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Not doing it.
I love a buffet.
I've literally seen her walk into a room and she'd be like, oh, you can fuck right off. And she'll just turn around. Yeah.
Me and buffets.
You and buffets.
I'm not eating off that. Mm-mm.
You get some scary
stuff. Not even at a wedding. Mm-mm. No. If you have a buffet at your wedding, don't invite me.
And that's even pre-COVID buffet.
Pre-COVID buffet?
I also don't do a potluck. Don't bring your shit to work. I don't know what you did with that crock pot at home. You could have soaked your feet in it. I don't know. I do not do a potluck. No, ma'am.
I'm shooketh.
And if
no
you only
words.
Knew how many casseroles a dick has been in.
Mm-hmm. There might be a rogue hair in there. What if you have a ton of cats at home? No offense. You just have one. But what if you did? You've seen people have like tons of cats and their cats are all up on the counters and you're chopping potatoes. Hell no.
Oh my gosh. If someone is looking for paranormal adventures, someone that's just an amateur like me, mm-hmm. are there places you'd recommend them to go? Like, for example, are cemeteries the happening spot? Churches? Old buildings?
The number one thing to say is, no matter what, ask permission
from
a homeowner or a person who owns a place. Well, here's the thing. It's like even if we went to a cemetery, people need to know that you're there. Like when we went to the one in Lono County,
right, that's a good
the
point.
Sheriff knew that we were there because otherwise, we're just some people like kind of pillaging around a cemetery and it looks bad and we can get arrested for trespassing. Mm-hmm. So, you always want to make sure that you're getting – I mean, people can – of course, there's urban exploring and everything where a lot of people go into places like, oh, we know this place is abandoned. But when you have a whole bunch of equipment taking with you,
last
thing you want to do is get arrested and have your equipment taken. And also, you want to make sure that it's safe for you because obviously you don't want to go into a place where people are – what was it?
Frogging.
Yeah. Frogging and that's my biggest fear going into any of these places is that like somebody is squatting in a place and might jump
that's
out
a good
and be
point.
Like, hey, I'm gonna stab you.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are plenty of places around here that look abandoned and there might be people in there. But how many, have you ever been to those cemeteries in New Orleans? The St. Louis cemetery,
like the one where Marie Laveau is?
I haven't myself. I know that Michelle and Blake have. They did some stuff down there.
That would be an interesting.
Or the house that, what's her name was in? The house that, what's her name? Laurie?
I've been outside that too. And I've never
Doesn't
had
Nicolas Cage own that? I think he had bought it. He's a weirdo like us, y'all.
He owns a cemetery plot in New Orleans.
I think he also owns that place.
He did at one point. I don't know if he still does,
It's either him or John Travolta.
Yeah.
Can never tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on who's wearing the face that day.
Exactly.
Okay. So, why have I never had a paranormal experience?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Lacey has FOMO.
Back when you were single, did you date?
She's been with her husband who's outside mowing right now since they were like 11 years old.
Going to say someone may have ghosted you. And you can say I had a paranormal experience.
Back in the olden days, it was called ignoring.
Exactly. The olden days.
Without getting into it, I've had so many people die in my life in various forms and fashions.
She didn't kill them, y'all.
I didn't kill them. But I've never had any...
I haven't either.
I've never had the chills or the they're here with me or...
But here's the thing. Were you paying attention to that? Were you thinking that way? You know what I mean? It's I will tell you one other thing that happened, and it's before this became a piece of equipment that I used something, not realizing it would pick up ghosts. But there's a thing called an SLS camera that people use now. It's where you use the Xbox Kinect that shows, picks up movement and you turns it into a stick figure. Mm-hmm. So when I was married... The house that I live in now, my ex-wife was sitting on the couch knitting and she was watching Netflix. And out of the blue, the Xbox Kinect went off and it showed a stick figure raising its arm in the same motion as to get to the next episode of House MD. And she said that she was so scared. And after a while, she was like, you can do it. Because she saw that it kept on trying to get up to the next episode. And then it happened to us a few weeks later where we saw it went off again. And we could tell where both of us were sitting on the couch on the camera screen that was on the television. But there, way over to the side, was a stick figure that was moving around.
It's weird.
So, yeah.
It's weird. Mm-mm. I don't want to do any of that stuff.
Oh, wow. So your friend Michelle that's a clairvoyant, does she know, is there anything following you around or are you clear?
Well.
You're in the clear?
So I've been to her house. There's stuff that happens at her house. I think I told you about this.
Key parties.
A key party, what?
I've heard of those.
So, everybody was in her kitchen. I went to her bathroom, which is right off of her bedroom. And I was hearing very distinct chatter. And I came out of the bathroom and no one was in there. And I had closed the door to the bedroom before I went to the bathroom. So, when I came out, went in the kitchen, I was like, was anyone in your room? And she goes, oh, you heard the whispering? She instantly knew what I'd heard, even though we were like...
Excuse me.
we were like four rooms away from each other, but she knew exactly what I was hearing. And she does that all the time. It's like, and the crazy thing is, and she may tell you this later on if you meet her.
I hope to.
We went and had lunch. This was only a few weeks back. Had lunch, and her daughter had been sleeping all day, and she was like, yeah, you know, she's just won't get up. She was up most of the night, da da da. She's like, yeah, I couldn't sleep most of the night because I just kept on hearing talking all night long in my ear, so I just couldn't sleep. And that happens to her a lot, she says. So we get back to her place, and her daughter's still asleep. It's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, hey, get up. You can't sleep all day. What's going on? So she gets up, and she's very mopey the entire time she's up. She's up for about 30 minutes before she's like, what's going on? Why are you staying up all night? Because she was like, were you talking with a boyfriend or something like that? And she started crying. Her daughter started crying, and her hands were shaking because she's like, I don't want to sound stupid, but I just constantly am hearing talking all night, and I can't go to sleep because it's just there. But you could tell that she was like, she didn't want us to think she was crazy.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing. And her daughter will not do any paranormal anything in terms of going to a location because I think she's like, I'm already experiencing this stuff. Why would I want to go to a place?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's odd.
No, thank you.
Stick to the murderers.
Well, you said earlier you don't really get vibes. I was going to ask if you get vibes if this place is haunted. I've tried to find research on it. It was built in the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. Can't find anything. No notable.
Well, also things. The thing is, it's like Michelle has said, when it comes to haunted places, all places are haunted. Ooh. If you think about it, because if there are souls, they don't have to always stick to one place.
That's a good point. Because one thing I think of, does it always mean someone dies there and they haunt that place? Or does it mean it doesn't matter where they die, they could haunt a different place? Yeah. Or I guess it's...
We've interacted, the Fee House, which is on Broadway, is a place that we've gone to several times. And we've there's a guy who used to own the place. His name was Frank Fee. He was an industrialist. He was a lumberman. Back at the turn of the century. And we have literally had Michelle and another one of our female investigators have literally been flirtatious with Frank and just to see if they got a reaction. And he's all about that flirting. And then we found out that he had mistresses and stuff like that.
Oh, so
he
wow. was.
He had that mentality. But the thing is, it's like they've sat there and flirted and stuff and gotten reactions from the flirting. So
how bizarre.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. One time my husband and I, it was an anniversary trip on Portsmouth Island off of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Remote, you had to take a ferry to get there. At the time, it's changed now because we've been back since then, but at the time, no Wi-Fi. We were in a cabin, no air, like nothing.
Yeah.
Well, so when we were going there to get the keys to the thing, she's like, ooh, this is a good one. It's haunted. And I was like, ooh, I'm excited. And she was like, the last person who stayed there had sex with a ghost.
Wait, what?
And my husband and I just looked at each other like, wait, what now? I mean, straight as day. This was a secretary that owned the cabins. The last lady that was there, she was in this cabin. She came back and told me that she had sex with this ghost. And I'm like, was it consensual sex?
It was.
Maybe he was like a super hot ghost. I mean.
So this was before we went. And when we got there, nothing weird happened.
Maybe she didn't know it was a ghost. Like, what's the show on Netflix?
Maybe she didn't know it was a ghost?
We just talked about it.
Maybe she didn't know it was a ghost.
We just talked about it. Remember?
No.
The lady... that gets in the water with
Haunting of Bly Manor.
And that was a ghost, and he didn't know it, or she didn't know it. Remember?
Yeah. But
I actually talked to somebody who said that they had sex with a ghost.
You did?
I did. I can't remember who it was. Or maybe nice. I can't remember whether it's a secondhand or firsthand thing, because someone may have told. I just remember hearing it feels exactly like what you would think it would feel. You feel pressure in the same places. you feel the weight of a person, all this stuff. And I was like, wait,
but
what?
But you don't see anybody?
I guess
it's not a bad deal. I'm just saying. Well,
I've never gotten the full Dan Aykroyd experience.
Mean, how was
we
it?
We stayed in this cabin. Did she finish?
Nothing happened. The scariest thing: a cockroach flew at my husband and scared him. He screeched in the highest noise I've ever heard, and I laughed so hard. Mm-hmm. That's the scariest thing that happened. No ghosts with no sexing ghosts. Mm-hmm. But we were just kind of like, what? She just told. Oh, the last woman who stayed there had sex with a ghost. Like, and here's your key, ma'am. I'm like, wait, what? Can you rewind and kind of tell me what's going on here?
Most people don't get ghosted until after the sex, so.
I know, they got ghosted during. Ghosted during. Well, that's interesting.
And sometimes you're there in person and you don't feel the pressure, so.
And some people while having sex feel like it's a ghost experience because they're out of their body exactly. trying to think of other things.
Exactly, they're completely.
Trying to think if I have any last minute questions.
She's like on that note.
No, I mean like, okay, let me think. Have you ever felt like you felt evil? Like the
not like you just wake up on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, like have you felt any not possessed necessarily. But like, I mean, have you walked in some place and felt like something bad happened?
I felt evil from people.
Ooh.
Not in a place, but there, I mean, I've been in situations where you feel this person has evil intent.
My ex-mother-in-law's that way.
Mm. Well, she listens, so now I'm going to have to edit that out.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't listen.
Actually, it's funny because Michelle recently, she called somebody out. She, like, literally went up to them and said, I don't want you to be in the same room with me.
Ooh, I've wanted to do that so many times to people.
You haven't done that?
I mean, I have.
She's very out. But you guys would love Michelle. She's pretty awesome. But, yeah, it's like she flat out said. And
she felt a vibe.
She felt
feeds
something.
Off energy. Of
and it turned out that it was someone who knew they actually came there specifically to meet her. And she said maybe it was the fact that it was very focused energy.
That's strange.
But she said she's like, maybe it's not her, but she said, I felt something harsh coming off this person or anything. But the person didn't have that type of personality
really?
At all.
Oh my god.
Very, very meek.
Awkward for that person.
Now like, I'm scared.
They seemed very genuine and kind and everything. But it's like she said that she felt just like straight up like dark.
Oh gosh.
Coming off that person, so yeah.
That's me. If she meets, she's like, oh, something's going on there.
It's not you. She'd be like, he's the eager beaver over here.
Man, I'm desperate for ghosts. Just love me.
Just love me.
Haunt me.
I did think of a quick question. What's your favorite scary movie?
Yes.
Favorite scary movie? Salem's Lot.
Ooh,
really?
Yeah. From the late 70s, I think it was.
Stephen King.
I remember being a little kid hiding behind my grandparents' couch, you know, just like looking over the back of the couch watching the movie. And of course, there was the famous scene where at the end, you remember Salem's Lot. So they're trying to kill the main vampire, and then they hit a light in the basement, and it keeps on swinging. And every time it swings towards a boy who's sitting next to an open door, you see more of the vampires start to get up and get closer to the door. Each time the light comes, they're a little bit closer, and I'm like, oh my god.
I need to rewatch that. It's been ages since I've seen that.
You know, what movie horrified you as a kid?
As a kid?
And you still think about it?
Well, like, I was a little kid watching Halloween all the time.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't scare you, really.
Well, it did, though, but I would just, I don't know. Back when you could rent VHSs, we lived really close to a VHS rental store. It was like a local owned one, so it wasn't like Blockbuster, but you know. Well, anyway, I go up there and he knew who I was and stuff. So I felt so cool because I could always rent rated R movies and he would let me. I was like, what, 12, 13? Because he knew my mom didn't care. Sorry, mom, I'm calling you out. She didn't.
But it's not like you were written 9.5 weeks. You were written Halloween. My grandmother loved scary movies, and so I used to watch them with her all the time.
Have you seen the new Conjuring?
No!
I haven't yet either. Are you into
We've actually been invited by NESPR, which is the Northeast Society of Psychic Research, which is what the Warrens started.
Oh.
It's their group.
Yes.
We've been invited to come up there for different events and everything because Blake talks with Dan Rivera, who is their main investigator.
Uh-huh.
They talk back and forth. Actually, he apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but Blake said that he told him that he wanted to come down here after the pandemic wrapped up mm-hmm. and investigate Four Quarter because of the stuff that we got. So that would be awesome.
Can we come?
we can go right now.
We'll be groupies and be super quiet with our.
Well, you know the people from Kindred Spirits, which is a travel channel paranormal show.
Yes,
they just
yes.
visited the Fee House this last week.
Really?
Yeah. I think mm-hmm. I showed. Yeah.
So they must be airing that.
I heard that their season starts up in July or something. Oh, so yeah. Obviously it won't be too long before, like if it's near the end of the season, I have to be near the end.
How interesting. How does one get started in becoming a paranormal investigator?
Basic equipment, jump in the pool.
Like what starter equipment? Like what did you get in the beginning?
For me, it was just, getting a digital recorder. It's funny. I got all this other stuff, but it's like the digital recorder does more for me than anything else.
What kind do you have?
I can't even tell you. It's actually.
Because it's different than just my iPhone.
No, it's.
Or it's just.
I got it at Best Buy.
Oh.
Yeah. It is an Olympus VN541 PC. Just a basic, like.
So you record on that and you can play it back on as you go.
What I do is I'll use headphones too because I can hear it a lot better. I'll do about 1 minute bursts, which mm-hmm. I'll sit there, record for a minute, stop, and always say anything that I know that I'm doing movement wise. I'll say I'm moving, I'm walking, I'm stopped. And then I'll record, and then every time I turn off the device, I'll say turning off the device so that I know it's my fingers that are rubbing up against
it. That's a good point, yeah.
So yeah,
I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
And of course, like I said, we have a bunch of equipment. We have one that's a couple $1,000s, which is the Ovilus, which we are supposed to get sometime this month.
Are you excited about that?
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about any new stuff that we get or anything, just to see how it works. There was one time at the Fee House, we actually had a ball that basically, you know, cats can bat around and everything.
Uh-huh.
It's a motion sensor. So basically the second it moves, you know, it starts lighting up. So we took one of those. We had that in the middle of the room. We had it's a music box that's in the shape of a casket that has a sensor on it, and it goes off if anything gets in front of that sensor.
Yeah.
And then we had another object. I can't remember what it was. I think it was an EMF detector or anything, and we had them in different parts of the room. It got to the point where Samantha, who is one of our members, she's the fashionista, she was literally point to an object, and she's like, make that go off. It would go off. Make that over there go off. It would go off. But it's also one of those things that the spirit she thought that she might be talking to is one that she regularly tries to communicate with actively, who at the Fee House was a daughter of Frank Fee, who apparently her and her husband, her brother and his wife, they were playing cards. The mother apparently burned herself right before a wedding. She had third degree burns. She back then, you know, of course, when you're trying to dry something, you'd literally just stand next to a fire, you know, to try to get it dry and everything. So it was the day of a wedding and she caught fire and she had third degree burns. She tried to hide the fact that she was burnt because she obviously didn't want to ruin a wedding day.
Mm-hmm.
And so ended up, you know, getting infection and died like a few days later. So they were in the middle of an argument about, you know, that it was the brother's fault, you know, that the mom had died. And so she went upstairs being very dramatic, came down with a vial of acid, drank it at the bottom of the steps and died almost instantly. So
that's the level of dramatic I am.
Yeah, that's all kinds of extra.
That's same.
Oh my God.
Extra ghosting right there.
Reel it in.
Take it in. I want to do more.
Yeah, no.
I want to go to Four Quarters.
Night of the week to the ghost.
Yeah, what's ladies' night for ghosts?
Ladies' night for ghosts.
Ladies' night for ghosts. Oh my gosh, that's so funny though.
You want to be around some spooky dudes, it's any night.
For real.
Real talk.
Dudes creeping.
I just want to become a paranormal investigator. Can you do that if you're just like 100% skeptic?
Actually, it's funny that Samantha.
I'll carry her around.
No, I'm like, no.
One of our investigators, her husband, who's actually one of my best friends, he went on one investigation with us, and literally every single time we caught anything, he'd dramatically roll his eyes. He's like, yeah, okay. And so he's like banned from coming to I can just be talking about an investigation that me and his wife both went on.
Yeah.
And he'll be like,
See, I don't discount anyone else's story. Mm-hmm. I just never had it happen for myself. No. And I'm desperate. Like, someone's told me I'm desperate.
I think it's good to go into any investigation being skeptical.
Sure.
Because you need to look at it through that lens. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to walk in and say, hey, I want to disprove all these things. Period.
Yeah, that's a good point.
When we went to the state capitol, we spent a good amount of time because there was a door that was, like, shaking violently that was in the basement. And we're like, what's going on? It's like at one point the air cut off. We're like, it can't be the air. It's still going or anything. So a few days after our investigation, I went back to the state capitol, like I told you guys. And I sat there and watched that door continue to shake in the daytime. And I went and talked to security. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's a few doors or anything. They said it's just, you know, some other ventilation going on or anything. It's behind that door. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So disprove it to prove it.
Yeah, that's a good... Have you seen the show Evil on Netflix? Mm.
I haven't. I've been wanting to sit down.
Oh, you should see it.
That's the show I was talking about earlier. Because,
like, there's one guy that's... It's like a whole production situation, but there's one guy that he's totally a skeptic, but he's... I think he's the...
Video.
The video guy.
Yeah.
He records stuff, and, you know, he's always like, oh, that's not real, but he's along for the paycheck.
Yeah.
It's a good show, though. I think you would like it.
They're basically, like, trying to disprove or prove demonic possession or miracles. Mm-hmm. Or
a lot of stuff like that. It's a really good show.
It's a really good show.
We'll say this. There was a place that Blake and Michelle went to called Pythion Castle, which is in Missouri. And they have, and that's one thing with her being clairvoyant. She doesn't like to be around people she doesn't know. So yeah. She was instantly uncomfortable even being there because it was a whole bunch of people she didn't know doing the same thing that they were doing. But she's like, I just don't want to be around people if I'm going to do this. It's not fun for me if I have to be around tons of people I don't know. So apparently she said something to Blake at one point. She says that she doesn't remember saying it to him at all, but he took a picture of her, and her face was all blurred out in the photo. And so they're wondering if something happened to her at that time. But like I said, it's one of those things that, you know, don't really know what it was. It probably wasn't even paranormal, but it was odd that, you know, that it happened. But she apparently had a different attitude the entire time she was there.
How strange.
And she said that she felt she was in a bad place. Like, she didn't want to be around anybody for a few days after coming back. She said that she just felt very... She was in a bad place.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very intrigued by Michelle. Very intrigued. So, where can the people find all the things? So Sweet and Sour has a Facebook page.
Sweet and Sour Paranormal, the letter N in between Sweet and Sour. Basically, we have a Facebook page. We have a Instagram page, which I think we have one photo.
So Facebook's where it's at.
Yeah, Facebook's where it's
at. We'll share that.
Of course, the show on Amazon Prime, if you're just wanting entertainment, nothing else, then Stagrassel Paranormal on
Definitely.
Amazon Prime. It became a hobby during the pandemic because it was something, a way to be socially distanced. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that I just want to continue to do because you get such an adrenaline rush out of it.
And never a dull moment though either.
No.
Right? I want to go along.
I know. What's
your ride along? Yeah, we want to do a
ride along. Ride along.
Ride along. Yes.
Get my backpack. You already have your backpack. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you guys.
We've chatted your ear off.
Yeah.
Yeah, H.H. Holmes is completely intriguing to know that there was a man who was actually able to con people to...
It's wild, that whole thing.
But yeah, I read Devil in the White City, and I was completely on board with that.
I haven't read that yet, but I need to. So I've heard so many good things about it. I'm behind, but wow. Okay, well, this was a good chat.
Yeah, this was fun.
Now I'm going to go to my attic tonight, turn on my phone recorder. I promise this is the last question ever. Have you ever used a Ouija board, and do you believe in this?
I have not, nor will I ever do that, just because I think that that's kind of asking things that aren't. So he believes in it. I believe that you can... Well, here's the reason why. Because I have a friend who his sister tried to use one back in high school, back in the like late 80s. And her and her friend basically said, you know, they were communicating with something. And they said, if you're real, let us know tomorrow at 8 p.m. And so both of them were at their respective homes the next night. And the front door to both of their homes at the same time opened and slammed. And they both freaked out. So, and it's like, if you asked her to this day, what's the scariest thing that's ever happened? She said it's when her front door opened and slammed by itself. After she said, prove your existence the next night.
Anyways, we gotta go.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting us talk your ear off.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And you'll have to come back.
Yeah, we'd love to chat with you in the future.
Living and dead.
Living and dead.
Living and dead, yes. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.